Our scripture reading today, the book of Psalms, 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray now that in this moment it will be your word that is central to our time. Lord, that it will be you who speak to us through your word and your truth to your people. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we want to look at and think about what it means to trust the Lord. What does it mean when we say that we trust in God? We've just come off of a series in the book of Numbers that gave us a lot of examples, positive and negative, of trusting God. Times when we saw the people of God trusting and following and being guided, and times when they were not trusting and they sought to go their own way, to rebel and to turn away from God's leading. And we see in this psalm, we see another picture of God leading. We see him leading as the shepherd. And we see David using what we'll see to be just really the daily life of a shepherd and his sheep as a picture for God's leading in his relationship to us. And us as sheep, trusting and finding out why it is and what it means to trust in him as our shepherd. And we'll also see him as a banquet host. A host who brings us into his house and lays before us a feast, a banquet to have. And all the time trusting in him and not fearing the enemies who are actually present, the darkness that lays ahead of us. These are all the images that David is pulling together here in this psalm. And this morning we're just going to walk through these images. And we're going to dive into them and look at and see what it is that the 23rd psalm, the psalm that probably the most well-known passage of Scripture in the whole Bible. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. And this morning, I just want us to walk through it and see what it is that this psalm has for us as God's people. So as we said, we start with this first image, the image of the shepherd. David, the former shepherd, who's very well acquainted with the work of a shepherd and what it means to be a good shepherd, looks to the Lord and himself, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not have any need. I shall have everything provided for me by this shepherd." And shepherd is a really common image in the Bible. And it's used, and it means literally the feeder. And so it's used for people who are put into the position to feed. It's used to refer to the priests in Israel, that they are there to shepherd the people, to feed the people spiritually with God's word. And David looks to God as the shepherd, The ultimate shepherd, the one who feeds from his word to all the people so that they have no need, that everything is taken care of for them and provided. But this, the provision isn't just a thing of quantity, that it's all there, but it's the very best as well. And we see that as he moves into this next part of the image, that God, who is the shepherd, the Lord who is the shepherd, makes his people to lie down in green pastures. Pastures that are lush with vegetation. Pastures where the sheep can come and eat until they're full, and have no danger of running out of food. This is the best food for the sheep. Not more than that, more than just feeding, he leads these sheep to still waters. And what it means when it says that he leads me to still waters, it means he takes me and he brings me to this place for the purpose of and causing me to rest and find calm beside these waters. Not waters that are running or rushing, but they're calm, they're still. And so a shepherd would bring sheep to these places, to these green pastures for feeding, to these still waters for drink, for refreshment, but also for cleansing. Which is where David sees himself being led to these waters by the Lord, that he's brought in, his soul is restored, he's cleansed. So the image, the picture is that the shepherd brings the sheep to the water. The sheep's able to drink, of course, but also the shepherd cleanses the sheep. The shepherd cleans and binds the wounds of the sheep here at these still waters. The word restore here is, in other forms, it's the same word as repent or return. But here it's not the sheep that's doing the action. It's not the sheep who is getting in and washing itself. It's the shepherd. And so it's the shepherd who is restoring, who is cleansing, who is giving back strength to the sheep by these still waters. And then the shepherd continues leading. And the shepherd leads the sheep on paths that are right, paths of righteousness. And he does it for his name's sake, because a shepherd who leads sheep down wrong paths will quickly lose his renown and his name as a shepherd. He'll be known as a really poor shepherd. Any shepherd who leads sheep down paths that are wrong or dangerous or lead to wrong pastures is not a good shepherd. And so David says that God leads me down paths that are right because his name depends on it. It's for his reputation that he leads me down paths that are right. But they're not just correct paths leading to the correct places, but they're actually paths that are marked by righteousness, as in a life that is right and good. So just to kind of pull this whole image together, David is saying, I look to God who provides for me. He provides food from his word. He nourishes my spirit with the truth of who he is and what he's revealed. He brings me to places and he cleanses me. He takes my soul that is wounded and is as dirty as a sheep is becomes injured as it travels with its shepherd, as it has the filth that starts to accumulate on it and around it. And David says, my soul is in a similar state when I come to the Lord. But the Lord takes my soul and he cleanses it. He binds up the wounds. He washes me and he makes me whole again. And he moves So from these paths of righteousness, though they're right, they don't always go through easy places. And David addresses this, that even though he walks through places of darkness, places of unknown, places of evil, and places of death, he'll fear no evil. And to kind of think about the sort of valley that David would be imagining, it wouldn't be a nice rolling valley, but more of a canyon with steep cliffs on either side that go up so high they seem to block out the sun. And so as you travel through this canyon, this valley, that seems to grow more narrow as you go through, and there seems to be more dark places, this is not a safe place to be. And for a shepherd, this is no safe place to bring your sheep, though at times it's necessary. But David says, thinking of himself, putting himself in the place of the sheep, he says, I fear no evil. Even though this is an evil place, even though this is a place where death could be around any corner, he says, I fear no evil. And speaking directly to God, says, for you are with me. And it's your protection, your rod and your staff, that's where I find comfort. So you provide food for me. You provide cleansing that restores me, that heals my wounds. You lead me down paths that are right, and you teach me the ways that I should live as your child, as your sheep. And even though I walk through places that are terrifying, places that would seem to steal my life away at any moment, places that I should fear, I have no fear. Because you, the great protector, the great shepherd, are with me. And I know nothing can happen to me ultimately when you're with me. And rather than having fear, I have comfort in these places. Now, here I just want us to pause for a moment and think about how it is that we experience this image of the shepherd. Because for David, when he wrote this, he found these things in the sanctuary. When he needed feeding, when he needed cleansing, when he needed to be reoriented to what that path of righteousness, that way of righteousness would be. When he needed comfort in that dark place, he would go to the sanctuary, and there the priests would feed him from the word. There he would offer a sacrifice and find cleansing and forgiveness. He would be reminded of what it meant to be a person, a sheep of God, and what it meant to walk in those ways of righteousness. He would find comfort from the things that brought him fear and the evil that he felt oppressed by. He would find relief from in the sanctuary. But what about us, though? Where is it that we find these things? And when we consider that, we find that God has taken all of those things that David found in the sanctuary, and he's bumped it up a few notches. Because now it's in Christ, in the great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd who's come and laid his life down for the sheep, that we find these things. It's at the hand, from the hands of Christ that we find our food. It's he who feeds our spirit, who nourishes us on his word. It's Christ who, as his sheep, he brings us to still pools, and he binds our wounds, and he cleanses us from our sin and from our unrighteousness. It's in his path that he draws us and teaches us and instructs us in the ways of righteousness. So that in those paths of righteousness, we learn to love as he has loved us. And when we enter into those places of darkness and death, those places that scare us, those unknowns that we face, that we don't know how they'll end, and we're not even sure how we got there in the first place, He is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. And more than that, He's actually given us His Spirit to actually live within us, so that we now are the sanctuary of God. And when we're in these valleys of death and shadow and darkness, He is with us in ways that we find it hard to conceive, because He is living within us. So now back to the psalm, David moves from the image of the shepherd to the image of the banquet host. And here he says, in the presence of enemies, God prepares a feast for him. Now typically in the presence of enemies, this is no time for a feast. This is a time for struggle, for strife, for fighting. But when we are in the house of the Lord, when we are brought as His guests of honor to His table, it's always a time for celebration, always a time for peace. And so that's what we have here. We have a banquet of peace. Even in the presence of enemies, we have peace. And more than peace, He anoints us. David says, "You anoint my head with oil. You refresh me." Again, this image of blessing and refreshment. That my skin and the dirt and things that have accumulated, with this anointing of oil, I find regeneration. I find myself given new life, a sign of blessing and of joy. And more so, he says, my cup overflows. My cup is filled to the brim. You filled my life with more joy, with more blessing than I know what to do with. So again, David looks to God and says, you're the source of all that's good in my life. You're the one who has blessed me with peace and with joy. You've given me more than I can ask for. You've spread before me a whole banquet, a whole party of blessing. And so again, we pause here and we ask, where is it that we find our blessing? Where is it that we look to find our joy and our peace? And again, it's in Christ. It's in Christ who is our banquet host, who anoints us by His very Spirit, giving us His presence all of the time, giving us every spiritual blessing, as Paul says in Ephesians. And it's Christ who fills our life, fills our cup with all joy, even at the expense of His own life, as the one who took the cup of wrath, the cup of judgment, taking that upon Himself so that we may have this cup of joy and of life. And so now we come to the conclusion of the psalm. Where is it that David ends up? And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David ends up in the same place that we end up, in Christ. When he says here, surely goodness and mercy follow me, the word here for mercy, it's an important word. It's a word that's used typically in relationship to God's covenant with his people. It's the word hesed. And so what David is saying is, it's the thing that follows me all the days of my life is your pledge to always act and always do in to my benefit, to my good. No matter what it is that you do for me, Lord, you will always act and you will always do to my good. You will seek my good above everything else. And this is the thing that follows me all the days of my life. And it's interesting that it's a pursuit. This goodness, this loyal covenant love of God is a thing that pursues. So that no matter where we go, and David would be well familiar with this, that those places that you end up and you're not sure how you got there, maybe it was your choices that brought you there, choices of someone else. Wherever it is that you end up, God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy is always there. And in the end, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is where we return. In Christ, we find this is where we end up. We look to the book of Revelation. We see that great banquet, again, a feast set out before us. But the difference between that feast and the feast that we find here is there's no more enemies at that feast. It's just us with our brothers and sisters and with our Lord at the banquet table. And so now, this morning, I want us to conclude our time together with reflection. Because here in this psalm, we've looked at these places, these times of fear. But we've seen the overwhelming goodness of God in these times of fear. And so I want us to take time and to reflect on what is it that we fear? What is it that is our enemy in this present time? Is it something outside of ourselves? Is it fear of a world that's increasingly becoming more unstable, more unsafe? Is it fear of an unknown test result that we haven't gotten back yet? And we know the result, one way or another, will be life-changing. Is it fear and apprehension about the financial situation that we find ourselves in? That we don't know really where our living arrangements will be. We don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Or is it fear of something that not everyone can see? Something on the inside. Maybe fear of inadequacy, that I just don't live up. I don't measure up to where I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's fear of loneliness, of those times spent alone. Maybe it's anxiety and fear of something that we don't even know what it is, but we know it's there and it causes us discomfort, causes us fear, sets us on edge. And we're afraid because we can't even name it. Whatever it might be, I invite you to just take these moments. And I encourage us to find a couple of people around us. And in prayer, together, seek those things and seek out where it is in this psalm that we find our need. Is it a need for nourishment, for feeding on God's word? Is it a need for cleansing, for restoration of our soul? Is it protection from the things that are unknown around us? Is it just a need for the blessing and feeling the blessing and presence of God in the midst of strife and fighting? Strife that perhaps has just gone on too long. So now I just ask that we take a few moments, and hopefully take a few moments together and bring these things before our Lord. Before our Lord Jesus, who in Him and in Him alone we find restoration, we find provision, we find protection from the things around us. So let's take this time and pray together.